there it is there. Okay. And maybe let's just change mics as well, Pete, if we can. Yeah. Okay. Who can tell me what story is that? Which is that one? Sorry, I can't hear you. David and Goliath. It's easy. Okay, so we are going to do the David and Goliath story today. But I'm going to need people to help play characters and roles today. That's how I forewarned you. Okay, we're going to start like this. You kids are going to have to split here in the middle, okay, and you're going to go and sit on either side. Okay, so go and sit against those chairs. You guys go and sit against those chairs. Make a big gap here in the middle. Spread the way, spread the way. There we go, spread the way. Sit right up against that side, right up against this side. There we go. Okay, and we just ask parents, just keep a hold, watch of your kids, seeing them going. We're not trying to go on yet forever today. So you guys, this side, right along here, unfortunately, you guys are the Philistine army. Okay, go and sit that side. There we go, buddy. Okay. Wow. Tiffany, you might want to go with your husband-to-be. Okay. I know, okay, maybe they're starting marriage prep soon, it'll be okay, we'll work it out. Yeah. Okay, then you guys from Mural onwards, you guys are the Israelite army. Oh, okay, now it gets a bit more technical. I need a David and I need a Goliath. Now, I need to hear from you, who do you think a good Goliath in our church would be? Okay? Sorry, Marlon, your name is coming up over and over again. So can you please step forward? Here comes Goliath, folks. Unbelievable. Woo. Woo, boo, boo. Okay, so we're now, you can come stand on the front here. Okay, well, actually this side, yeah. This is your Philistine. This is his armor. Okay, and he's going to get dressed in his armor. That is your helmet. Okay. No. Okay, he can get dressed in his armor so long. Okay, then I need... Okay. All right. We need to select a David. Okay. Who's saying shoes? Is shoes going to be David? Shoes has run away. But that's a great option. Shoes, where are you, but? Sikalela. He literally ran away. But he's coming back. Okay, we've got David. Okay, now I need three David's older brothers. Okay, now they gave David's older brothers. Okay, all right. Nathan, yes, you are amazing. Thank you very much. Okay, who can be David's older brothers? Jude. Yeah, Jude. Yeah, he can come. Good call. Jude, come and stand here, please. Okay, Robin. And Robin's going to come stand here. He's always got a vibe. He's a great actor. Okay. And then I'm needing a King Saul. Okay, someone of stature who's a king, the king of Israel. Who's gonna stand and Ray, there we go. Oh, you're a Philistine, you can't be. Okay. Uche. Okay, Uche. Okay, there we go. You need to bring yourself a chair and you can come sit and you can reign here on the throne. Yeah, but there's one right there. There, Uche, bring a chair. There we go. Okay, it's going to be one of those meetings today. Hang in there, folks. Okay, and then I'm needing the father of David. I need Jesse. Now, these stay here. This will go to David. Okay, shoes up. Okay, so we're just getting organized here with all the things we need. Shoes, where are you? Okay, there's your staff and sling. Okay, you know what to do with that. That's okay, you are reigning here as king. Perfect. And then Jesse. I need Jesse, who's David's father. Jesse, it's going to have to be from Israel. Okay. Richard. Richard, your name got shouted. Okay, Richard, here we go. Okay. All right, so that's how we see the story, David and Goliath. Okay? This is often how we see the story today in David and Goliath. Okay? And we are our young people, and there's a reason I'm doing the story today. I'm leading up to our baby dedication as well. There's things that our young people are up against. So what David used with a sling up against the giant, it's like this young boy standing in front of his tank throwing a stone at him. They're coming up against different things. Okay, our youth and what they're facing and what you guys come up today. But here's the reality. Shame Ella and Aiden are at home sick today. They're not feeling well. But Ella, actually, Kathleen asked her, and we as parents, we've often said, like, we're so sorry. We're like raising you in this world, the way the world is right now and these times. And Ella's response was, well, I don't know your world. I don't know what it was like. Okay, so I know what's in front of me, and it's okay. It's all that's in front of me. I don't know any different. It's okay. So David, you see, what he saw in front of him wasn't our histories of losing battles as Israel. What he saw in front of him was like, well, that's what I faced. It's okay. Okay, that's the stance today. And our youth, we are speaking encouragement to your hearts. Okay, and the reality of what you guys come up against, we look and go, oh no. You guys look and go, I can take this on because this is the world I'm grown up in. This is what I face. And you're not alone in it because you've got God with you. Okay? All right, I'm already hearing the Israelites cheering me on. Come on, that's fantastic. Come on. Philistines, a little bit Philistine on me. But anyway, we'll... Okay, all right. And also, what we're going to have to do, okay, is we're going to have to, at some stage, when I hold this up, you are going to... Okay? Thanks, John. That was good. That was good. And then we're going to have... Okay, I'm going to need two people to come and stand with me. Of you, Kelsey, come. Okay. Okay. And you, buddy. Come. You're pal. Oh, you're going to come. Okay. There we go. You are an Israelite. Again, you're going to, I'll tell you which one to do at the right time. You hold, when you hold it up, when Kelsey holds it up, you shout. What's your name, my girl? Numtan Leso. Okay. All right. So when you stand this side, you're also going to do the right one. Okay. And Joe, you can just help to make sure we flow with the story here. Okay. Okay, before we get going, okay, I've got three youth are going to just tell a quick testimony and story quickly as we get going. Are they ready to go? Okay, so I've got Bella, not Bella at the sound at the back, don't worry. We still regard you as a youth though, okay? Bella, Esther, and Freddie, are they here today? Where's Bella, Esther, and Freddie? Okay, you guys come stand up here quickly. They're going to share some quick testimonies about what God's doing in their life, and then we're going to get into the story. And that all together. Okay, my girl. Perfect. Okay. Okay. All right. Come and stand right up front here, guys. Right up front. You guys are going to share some testimonies. I want you to hear from our youth today. Okay. We'll start with ladies first. Esther, you want to go first? Bella? Okay. The man's going to lead the way. Stand up front. Then everyone can see you. Okay. There we go. Yeah.
Good day, everyone. Good day.
It's on, go for it, yeah.
Today I'm going to share my testimony.
It's on, just talk. Yeah, just go.
Okay, like, I was having...
Just hold the mic close to your mouth and just leave it there. That's it.
During the week, I was having, like, a tough time. Having a disbelief of God. So, I was having a really rough week. So, on, like, it happened on Thursday when I went to the soccer field with my friend. So, we, like, literally got, like, shot at the field. Got shot at, so we ducked. So I experienced being protected by God because, like, two like incidents happened in the week also. Because, like, I ran over the main road, so I also recently got bumped. Something told me stop and first back and run. So, so I'm a bit nervous, eh?
Okay, Awesome. Is that it? Yes. Well done, my bud. Bless you, man. Awesome. This is Bella.
Good morning, church, family. I want to take a moment to share with you all how incredibly grateful I am to have found a school to attend. This past year has been filled with uncertainty and worry as I wondered if I would be accepted into a school that would help me reach my academic and personal goals. Last year I've been looking for a school for all that years. Then I decided to go to the healing room. There was two ladies that prayed for me. Then when they were done praying, the one lady told me that while she was praying, she saw Musenberg High. And she told me that I shouldn't give up. I should keep on praying, push hard, have faith, and believe in myself. Because God will answer my prayer anytime. And I think on the 31st of June, I decided to fast for the whole day. The whole day. And then on the 14th of January, I got a call from Musenberg High. And I'm so grateful to say that I've been accepted in Musenberg High. And I truly believe that it is a perfect fit for me. Tell God what you need and keep on praying. He will answer your prayers. Believe in Him. He will move mountains. Believe in Him. Keep on praying. Thank you.
Well done. Woo! Come on. Go for it, Esther. Thank you, Bella.
Hello, everybody. So I'm just going to share a testimony of how, like, God impacted me, like, impacted the way that I view Him this year. So this year, last year, near the end of the year, I was experiencing some health problems, but then I got better because I was praying and drinking medicine, and then I was doing okay even when the new year came, and then I started school again, and then during the first week of school, that's when I started feeling weak, and I started feeling this way for like a couple of weeks during the school term, and then it was beginning to worry me because I'm in matric now, and I couldn't be sick. I had to like study and work hard, and then I remember there was a week where I went to youth, and I was speaking to God, which I didn't do that week because I was so focused on studying. And when I did do my Bible, read my Bible and prayed, I was just doing it to get over and done with so I can go study again. And I remember I was speaking to God and I was asking God to help me because I was just going through a lot that week, like emotionally and physically with my health and that. And then I felt the Holy Spirit, God saying to me, He's like, He was saying, how do I expect Him to help me if I'm not putting Him first? It's because I was so focused on, like, my exams, doing school, getting the marks, that I wasn't reading my Bible anymore. I wasn't speaking to Him. And then that day, I made a decision that I would focus on God regardless of whether I had to go study and that. And I would read my Bible first before doing my homework and speaking to God. And then I started doing that. And then I realized the more I spoke to God, the more I started to regain my strength. And I was feeling less and less sick each day. And now I'm feeling much better. I've been feeling less weak for like 2 weeks now. And all glory goes to God. Yeah. And what I'll just encourage everyone is to not forsake God, to just keep on seeking God and putting Him first, because He's our source of joy, He's life and peace. Without Him, we can't really live. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, God. Thank you very much. Brilliant. What a joy to hear young voices coming through with strength and believing in God. That's awesome. Okay, actors, are you ready? Okay. Whoa. Oh, okay. Oh. We got a ninja Goliath here, but anyway, we'll go with that. Okay, we're going to read through the story, so actors, be aware when your role comes up, you know what to do. Okay, I know we didn't practice this, but we'll go with the flow. The Philistines drew up their troops for battle. They deployed... That didn't happen. Okay, they deployed them at Sokoth in Judith and set up camp between Sokar and Azekah and Ephas Dammon. Saul and the Israelites came together, camped at Oak Valley, and spread out their troops in battle readiness for the Philistines. The Philistines were on one hill, and the Israelites on the opposing hill with the valleys between them. So lift the sharp one. Lift the sharp one. Yeah. A giant nearly 10 feet tall stepped out from the Philistine line into the open. Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head. Today he has a white one. And dressed in armor. The armor weighed 57 kilograms. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail. The spear tip alone weighed about 6 kilograms. His shield bearer walked ahead of him, and Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. If he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll all become our slaves and serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man. Let us fight it out together." Lift the sharp one. Now when Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. Enter David. He was the son of Jesse. Yeah. What a man. Jesse, the Simonstown knight from Bethlehem in Judah. And Jesse, the father of 8 sons, was himself too old to join Saul's army. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to war. And now the names of the 3 sons who joined, and you guys can decide who's who here. Up Saul were Eliab, the firstborn. Next was Abinadab, and third, Shammah. And David was the youngest son. And while the 3 oldest brothers went to war with David, Samuel went back and forth from attending to Saul. David went back and forth from attending to Saul to tending his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And each morning and each evening for 40 days, Goliath took his stand and made his speech every day. Yeah. One day, Jesse, that's your picnic basket. One day, Jesse told David, his son, "Take this sack." Are you talking to David? Or who are you giving it to? Sorry, oh, there we go. Jesse, there we go. "Take this sack of cracked wheat and these 10 loaves of bread and run them down to your brothers in the camp, and take these 10 wedges of cheese to the captain of their division." This looks like men trying to organize a party here. Okay? "And take the 10 wedges of cheese to the captain of their division. Check in on your brothers to see whether they are getting along all right, and let me know how they are doing. Saul and your brothers and all the Israelites in their war with the Philistines in the Oak Valley." David was up at the crack of dawn, and having arranged for someone to tend his flock, he took the food and was on his way as Jesse had directed him. And he arrived at the camp just as the army were moving into battle formation, shouting the war cry. Lift up the shout. Israel and the Philistines moved into position, facing each other, battle ready. And David left his bundles of food in care of the sentry and ran to the troops who were deployed and greeted his brothers. Now, while they were talking, the Philistine champion Goliath of Gath stepped out to the front lines of the Philistines. Okay, get ready with ooh. Okay, just get ready with the next one. Okay. And gave his usual challenge. And David heard him. And the Israelites, to a man, fell back the moment they saw the giant, totally frightened. The talk among the troops was, "Have you ever seen anything like this? This man opened and defiantly challenging Israel. The man who kills the giant will have it made. The king will give him a huge reward, offer his daughter as a bride, and give him his entire family a free ride." Now David, who was talking to the men standing around him, asked, what's in it for the man who kills that Philistine and gets rid of this ugly blot on Israel's honor? Who does he think he is anyway? This uncircumcised Philistine taunting the armies of God alive. And they told him what everyone was saying about what the king would do for the man who killed this Philistine. Now, Eliab, his older brother, heard David fraternizing with the men and lost his temper. Wow. Sure. Michelle, is that how it is, eh? It's hectic, eh? Wow. So he lost his temper. Yeah. What? Yeah. What are you doing here? Why are you minding your own? Why aren't you minding your own business, tending your scrawny flock of sheep? I know what you're up to. You've come here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat at a bloody battle. And David says back to him, "What is it with you?" David replied, "All I did was ask a question." And ignoring his brother, he turned to someone else, asking the same question, and got the same answer as before. The things David was saying were picked up and reported to Saul. Saul sent for him. "Master," said David. Now David is talking to Saul. David says, "Don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine." And Saul answered David, "You can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. And he's been fighting, and he's been at this fighting business since before you were born." And David said, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who's taunting the troops." Okay. Just a disclaimer, I'm reading the Bible. Okay? It's the Message translation. Okay? Okay, let's say that again. "Do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine." And Saul said, "Go and God help you." But before he goes, that's the armor. Then Saul outfitted David as a soldier in armor. He put his bronze helmet on his head and belted his sword over his armor, and David tried to... David tried to walk, but he could hardly budge. And David told Saul, "I can't even move with all the stuff on me. I'm not used to it." And he took it all off. Then David took his shepherd's staff and 5 smooth stones from the brook. Okay. These 5 stones, okay, are actually from the brook that David got in Israel. Okay. Yes. It was raining that day and I ran to that brook and I collected 5 stones. So you only need 1. But you're gonna throw him with a ping pong ball. Okay, then David took his shepherd's staff and selected 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his pocket of his shepherd's pack. And with his sling in his hand, he approached Goliath as the Philistine paced back and forth, his shield bearer in front of him, and he noticed David. He took one look at him and sneered, "Ha! A mere boy, apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed." The Philistine ridiculed David. "Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick?" And he cursed him by his gods. "Come on," said the Philistine. "I'll make you roadkill for those buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice." And David answered, "You come at me with sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of God of the angel armies." "The God of Israel troops, whom you curse and mock, this very day God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and coyotes. The whole earth will know that there is an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's handing us to you on a platter." Shout again. And the Philistines go, "Ooh." You lift this one up. This one. There we go. That roused the Philistine. That's how nervous they are. That roused the Philistine. And he started towards David. And David took off from the front line, running towards the Philistine. And David reached into his pocket and with a stone slung it and hit the Philistine hard in the forehead, embedding the stone deeply. Shout. The Philistine crashed face down in the dirt. That's how David beat the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He hit him and killed him. No sword for David. My boy, that's it, eh? Come on. They chased the Philistines. Here we go. No, take his sword. That's his sword. You use his sword. Then David ran up to the Philistine and stood over him. Stand on him, actually. That's fine. Pulled the giant's sword from its sheath and finished the job by cutting off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their great champion was dead, they shouted, running for their lives. The men of Israel and Judah were on their feet, shouting, "Israel, shout, ooh, ooh, ooh." They chased the Philistines all the way to the outskirts of Gath and the gates of Ekron. It's basically to retreat or to Tukai. They wounded the Philistines, were strewn along Tukai Road all the way to Musenberg. They chased the Philistines. The Israelites came back and looted their camp. And David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. But the giant's weapon he kept in his own tent. And when Saul saw David go out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Tell me about this young man's family." And Abner said, "For the life of me, O king, I don't know." The king said, "Well, find out the lineage of this raw youth." And as soon as David came back from killing the Philistine, Abner brought him, the Philistine's head still in his hand, straight to Saul. And Saul asked him, "Young man, whose son are you?" "I'm the son of your servant Jesse," said David, "the one who lives in Bethlehem." And that day Israel saw the giant defeated. Let's give everyone a great round of applause. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, girls. There we go. Okay, we got everything. Come on, let's give the actors one more round of applause. Now that's a very powerful story. We all know that story over and over and over again. But there was a few little highlights in the story that I just want to make note of here, and particularly as we've got a family service, and we'll wrap it up now in the next 5-10 minutes. We're going to dedicate this baby and stuff. How, when David was talking and he went to the front lines, how did his older brothers approach him? Guys, children in the front, you're going to have to just quiet for 5 minutes, okay? Let me just finish up the story, okay? Everyone, parents, help me out, okay? All right? Who was the voices that were always the voices of reason? Okay? Older brothers, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Okay? And there's something very, very kind of powerful that David's brother says to him. And Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Nathan's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness?" Meaning, get away from here. You're not meant to be here on the battle line. We fight. You look after sheep, pal. And then he says these things. "I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." What a strong thing for his brother to tell him. "I know you're being presumptuous about who you think you are." But now you must remember, David had already been anointed as king. And he had that happen in the presence of his brothers. Because Samuel came to Jesse and said, "Father, the Father of God sent me, Yahweh sent me to come and anoint one of your sons for king." And the 7 of them, and eventually David goes like, "Have you got another one? Because God says none of these." Oh yeah, there's David. But really? Okay, David. Someone get David. He's looking off the sheep. They bring him in and God says, "This is my man." And what does God do? And what does the story tell us there? Do not look at the outward appearance. Don't look at how someone looks thinking, "Oh, they're going to be strong and mighty." God looks to the heart. And we need to understand that in today's that we live in today. Stop looking at people's outward appearance and making a judgment. "Oh, look at them. Oh, dear, look at them go." We've got stereotypes, you know, how we see people. "Oh, there they go again." I know taxis, we can put in that category. Stereotype, there's one way it is, okay? But we judge by what we see. And actually, God looks at the heart. And David was anointed. Oil was poured over his head in front of all these brothers. You think their brothers might have been slightly jealous? Just a touch put out. Who does he think he is? And then even when he goes in front of the king, Saul. Now, he was actually playing for Saul already before the army, and he called to the army to defeat Goliath. He was already in his presence. And already there, and Saul gave no regard for this guy. Only after all this, he's asking, "Who is this kid?" And I can tell you something now, older people, older folk, that's how we often look at our younger generation. And we say, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." What did I say in the beginning? They are not fighting the fights we fought. We face the world the way we face the world. They are growing up in a world that's all they know. But we know the God of all heaven and creation will equip them and empower them to take the battles that they face today. Why wasn't David scared? Who can tell me? Why wasn't David scared of the Philistine Goliath? Why wasn't he scared? Because he had God with him. And what did he say in front of God? In front of Goliath? He says, "You come with sword. You come with all this stuff. I stand here before you because of the God of the angel armies," he says in that translation. "That's who I stand before you." Now, words can be cheap. I had a boss years ago who said to me, "Talk is cheap, but it takes money to buy the whiskey." Okay? Talk is cheap, folks. If you are just blabbing off stuff because you think it's the right thing to say, David knew his God. It came from the depth of who he was. It was from the place of his spirit, in a sense. I know who I am standing in front of you. I am not in one iota scared of you. And I know I'm going to take you out. Because if I've slain giants and bears, you, pal, are nothing to me. And he had this, did he have an arrogance? But he had a confidence in who he was in God. Older generation, what we need to instill in our youth and our younger generation, let's hear their testimonies, is instilling a confidence in them of who God is to them. Not saying, "No, why are you here? You can't do this. You're too young to play on the stage. You can't do that. You're too young to pray for people. No, don't worry. It's just a dream. It's not God talking to you." See how quickly we poo-poo it? Okay? But that's not how the kingdom is. We've got to raise this generation up. We believe in you. We trust in you. And we know God's got his hand upon you to raise you up. Amen. 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 So on the back of all that, I want to ask Matt and Jan and Evie. And we are going to dedicate Evie to the Lord today. And maybe the the rest of their clan, come and join us. Ray and Joe, and come and stand together with young Kai, who was here a little while ago. Well, let's stand on the front here. Let's stand on the front here. It's good. Okay, Evie, come, girl. There we go. Okay, and the reason I wanted to do this, this wasn't planned that it was going to be on this day and was going to be like this, but the story has painted what I feel prophetically when we want to pray over her this morning. That, yes, she's been adopted, and it's beautiful, and she's been taken out of a place of rescue and put into a place of adoption. Now she belongs to a family. And that's exactly how it is for every one of us. We were all orphans. We were all nobodies without God. This is a model of what it is that God did for us, that He adopted us as His very own. And I always say, you said about those adoption papers, that it says there as if she has been born to you. As if this is your child that you bore, and that's how we stand today. And so we're going to prophesy. You see, the voices of the older generation, and the voice particularly, not just older generation, of the world. You see, Goliath represented the world. And what did he say? You don't know what you're talking about, da-da-da. All that kind of taunting. But David came out with words of righteousness. And often the words can seem so shallow and empty when we stand up against this big thing of the world. But his voice carried truth and power because he knew his God. And it wasn't just words. And that's what we want to pray over her this morning. That when you have to stand up to stuff, my goal, and things are going to be coming against you, things are going to face you, there are going to be temptations in your life, things are going to come this way, you're going to stand up to it. Okay? And your parents are raising you up with a voice of reason and the voice of understanding, but that you would hear the voice of the Almighty God to lead and to guide you. That you can make a powerful decision and say, no, I choose this. I know my God, and I go this route. Hey, amen. So we're going to pray over you together. So maybe all the children, we can just reach out a hand, and we're going to pray over Evie, and we're going to speak over you, okay? That as you grow up in this world, you will stand up to the voice and the noise of this world with the voice of truth and the voice of life, okay? And often the young people can get misunderstood, but that you will grow up with the maturity of being able to kind of walk in that. So let's just pray over her this morning. Father, first you just thank you for Ray and Joe. We just thank you for Matt and Jan. We thank you for these families that are just so committed to you and to your cause and your kingdom. Their stories tell them. Lord, and we just pray over this young one, Evie, this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called her. Yeah. She's been adopted literally into a family, but she's been called, and there's a mandate upon your life, young girl, to walk according to what the Lord has called. And we speak over you now that you will arise with a strength inside of your heart, that when the world throws things at you, you will stand with truth and righteousness, and you will stand up to that word, up to those words that come against you, just like David did. And you will see giants slain in your life. You might be quiet, and you might be, it doesn't take loudness, it takes truth, it takes authority, and it takes knowing your God. And that we release and speak over you today, that you will truly know, as your parents raise you up in the ways of God, you will truly know the King. And we prophesy that over you today, that you will walk in truth. And we pray grace over Matt and Jan, Lord, as they continue to raise these children in the ways of the King and the ways of the Lord. And we honor you today, and we release the power and the love of the Almighty upon your heart and life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Awesome. 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 Fantastic. Well, that's not bad for 12 minutes past 11 for the Bay. Thank you, Nathan, for leading us in worship beautifully this morning and touching God's heart. Amen.
Amen.
I think we should let you go. That's not a bad thing, hey? Let's all stand together and we can just pray. Okay, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you that the battle is not ours, but it's yours. We have so many things in this world pressing in, so much noise. But Father, we thank you that you know us, but that we know you. And we just pray as we've sung over this young generation, we've prayed over this young generation. Father, we pray they would grow up knowing you. That the voices of this world would never drown out the voice of the Father that speaks assurance and life over them. And Father, we pray all of us that are facing things in this world, that we are coming up against challenges, all the things we're walking in. Father, we thank you that you have defeated the enemy. And we can walk in victory, we can walk in life, and we can walk in power. And we pray you bless us as we go from here. Let us know that you are for us in every single way. And we honor you by the power of your name and the power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Blessings, blessings, blessings.